It's the basement.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to It's Debatable on Campus FM 103.7. The illegal trade of human trafficking for commercial exploitation is becoming an increasingly lucrative industry. What is classified as modern-day slavery is now the fastest-growing criminal industry in the world. Globally, it is the second-largest criminal activity following the drug trade. The United Nations calculates that nearly 2.5 million people from 127 different countries are being trafficked around the world. The Council of Europe adds that people trafficking has reached epidemic proportions over the past decade, with a global annual market of about $42.5 billion. On today's show of It's Debatable, we ask, why does human trafficking exist? And we shall be exploring how it functions. I am Darren Katkuti, and I'm going to be your host for this half an hour. Remember that you can join our conversation with your questions and comments by sending an email on info@mrsa.org.mt or by logging on our online forum on mrsa.org.mt. Joining me now is our academic contributor for today, Dr. Carmen Samut, lecturer in Gender and International Relations at the University of Malta, and second-year international relations students Justine and Martin. I welcome you all to It's Debatable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Samut, let me start with you. I invite you to lay out the facts for us and explain better the concept of human trafficking for our listeners.
At the turn of the millennium, the world acknowledged that while old forms of slavery had been formally abolished in many countries, new forms of slavery were on the rise. A United Nations protocol was signed in Palermo, setting up diplomatic guidelines on ways in which to identify and combat transnational organized crime responsible for human traffic. The following is the agreed definition of trafficking in persons: the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of persons by means of the threat or use of force or other forms of coercion, of abduction, of fraud, of deception. It also includes the abuse of power or of a position of vulnerability. It entails the giving or receiving of payments or benefits to achieve the consent of a person having control over another person for the purpose of exploitation. Exploitation shall include, states the protocol, at a minimum, the exploitation of the prostitution of others, or other forms of sexual exploitation, forced labor or services, slavery or practices similar to slavery, servitude, or the removal of organs. Trafficking is part of a global black economy, and so it is difficult to quantify it, and it is difficult to track its growth and the methods which are used. However, we know that those responsible for it range from small groups involved at some stage of the operation, or large, powerful criminal organizations that may also be involved in other forms of illegal trading, like narcotics. It is indeed a multi-billion operation, and with experts claiming that together with the illegal arms trade, it comes only second to the illegal drugs trading. Some claim that there is even more money at stake with human trafficking. One can only sell a drug or a weapon once, but in the case of prostitution, one can sell a person over and over again. The United States State Department data estimates that around 600,000 to 820,000 men, women and children are trafficked across international borders each year. Approximately 80% are women and girls, and up to 50% are minors. Most of the victims are trafficked for prostitution, but there are also other forms of labor where people are treated as slaves. Human trafficking normally takes place from poor to richer regions. Many source countries are weakened by war, by corruption, and by natural disasters, and these are normally countries in Asia, Latin America, and also the former Soviet Union. The receiving countries tend to have affluent individuals who are able to pay for the product or the service. Normally Thailand, Japan, Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Italy, Turkey and the United States. Malta is not untouched with issues of human trafficking that are not merely related to the trafficking of sub-Saharan Africans, but also of women who are deceived into coming here from Eastern European countries and they were trapped in the sex trade. In every country, prosecution is difficult and rare. The Maltese police was reported to have taken action against Maltese individuals involved in such modern-day slavery. There are reports of Eastern European women, some of whom were deceived into prostitution and their passports confiscated by the traffickers. Similar cases were reported on the island of Cyprus, where the media even claimed there is a bounty on the head of an Orthodox priest who intervened to help and to release Russian women from the clutches of organized crime. Human trafficking across international borders requires cooperation and collaboration between states. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe is one of the leading agencies fighting the problem of human trafficking. Human trafficking prevention organizations work to increase the level of public awareness. By pushing the issue of human trafficking into the public eye, they use the media to educate the public about the dangers of being trafficked and the practices of preventing individuals from being trafficked. And this is another instance where top-down action is not enough. Public awareness and behavioral change are also necessary for international efforts to be effective.
Thank you for joining us with that introduction, Dr. Sammut. The debate on human trafficking continues with our other two guests for today, Justine and Martin. Justine, I invited you to this show because you seem to have quite a moderate approach to human trafficking. Can you explain to me what is human trafficking and what does it entail?
Yes, thank you, Darren. Well, primarily, human trafficking is a crime against humanity. It involves an act of recruiting, transporting, transferring, or receiving a person through a use of force, coercion, or other means for the purpose of exploiting them. We can say that every country in the world is affected by trafficking, whether it's a country of origin or destination for victims. It is also the modern equivalent of slavery, and it is often seen as a new phenomenon. However, the exploitation and trafficking of people has existed for thousands of years. It has changed over time. And, for example, before there was the old slave trade, the white slave trade, and the exploitation of men and women in slavery-like conditions after World War II. This shows that human trafficking is constantly changing.
Martin, I turn to you now. I know that in your research you have found out that human trafficking can have a short-term positive impact on transitional economies, but on a long-term basis it can lead to an over-reliance on human exploitation. Can you explain this to our dear listeners?
Yes, transitional economies are at a halfway point between underdeveloped and developed economies. Over-reliance on cheap labor is detrimental to building a strong middle class and modernizing the economy, which basically entails that the old system, the old economy, is being continued on while the country develops. This is seen in the American South, as the American South was completely dependent on the slave labor. It failed to modernize and is even to this day considered to be the poorest part of America.
I know that our dear listeners may also be aware that there exists a multitude of reasons why human trafficking exists, but Justine, can you at least list the most important reasons why this trade continues to flourish in our modern world?
Yes, two of the main reasons and of the major reasons are poverty and lack of economic opportunity. These make women and children potential victims of traffickers, also associated with international criminal organizations. They are vulnerable to false promises of job opportunities in other countries. And also, many of those who accept these offers find themselves in situations where their documents are destroyed, their families perhaps threatened with harm, or even they are bonded with a debt that they can have no chance of ever repaying it.
Certainly, geography must play an important reason when it comes to human trafficking. Can you tell me which regions are mostly affected by this activity?
Yes, and in poorer regions of the world, we can say where education and employment opportunities are limited, in these places we find the most vulnerable in society, and these are the most common victims of human trafficking. And also, once trafficked, the victims are even more vulnerable, as they have often been stripped of their documentation, faced with threats to their person, and also humiliated by law enforcement agencies. This is because they are classified as either criminals or violators of migration laws. Also, it is similar to the term illegal immigrants, where trafficking victims are detained or deported. In some cases, also, officials collaborate with international and national criminal organizations. To cite an example, Russia is a major source of women trafficked globally. For the purpose of sexual exploitation, there have been numerous reports of trafficking of children and of child sex tourism in Russia. We can note that the government of Russia has made some efforts to combat trafficking, but it has also been criticized for not complying with the minimum standards for, we can say, the elimination of trafficking.
You mentioned the case of Russia, which is a significant example when we're tackling human trafficking. But building on what Justine has just said about Russia, Martin, we all know that human trafficking also exists in other countries. Can you list some other cases for us?
Yes, Thailand is a major destination for primarily prostitution for human trafficking. This is mostly because Thailand is in part surrounded by poor countries which have been war-torn, and which lack proper education. Second point is that there is little law enforcement in Thailand when it comes to prostitution, even though it is illegal in theory. Law enforcement officers are generally seen as corrupt and do little to prevent this prostitution. There's also a big market in Thailand for child prostitution. It's estimated that today there are approximately 200,000 prostitutes under the age of 18 working in Thailand, and there's a risk now for HIV and AIDS epidemic exploding in Thailand. Another example is Japan. Japan is seen not as an origins country, obviously, but as a destination country. Japan is facing similar problems as Thailand, that despite the fact that prostitution is illegal, it de facto functions openly in Japanese society and is ingrained in it. The problem herein lies that it's hard to do for the government to differentiate between who is there willingly working as a prostitute and who has been trafficked, being as they work in similar conditions.
That was Martin. We have also Justine today as our guests. They are international relations students, and we're discussing human trafficking here on It's Debatable. I thank you all for your input so far. We shall now stop for a short break. Keep listening to It's Debatable on Campus FM. Coming up is our special guest for today, Dr. Catherine Camilleri, who will be sharing with us her knowledge about the subject we're discussing, human trafficking. Stay tuned.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must the white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Isn't how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Joining me now in the studio is my special guest for today, Dr. Catherine Camilleri, who heads the legal unit of the Jesuit Refugee Service in Malta. I welcome you to It's Debatable, Dr. Catherine. First of all, I would like you to explain better, from a legal perspective, the repercussions of human trafficking in the international scenario, and perhaps the contributions of certain states in the legal aspect towards creating better barriers to limit human trafficking.
Human trafficking, the crime of human trafficking, is extremely complex, and as I'm sure everyone is aware, it doesn't only happen within the borders of one state. Very often it occurs across borders.
So it is considered as a crime by all the member states of the international community.
One of the first steps that was taken on an international level to combat the crime of trafficking is to come up with one definition of trafficking, because in fact, as you are rightly pointing out, different states would have different definitions. And very often, the crime of trafficking doesn't take place in just one state, okay? So the different components of the crime take place in different states. So, for example, somebody could be recruited in one state. Let's take, for example, Nigeria. A young girl recruited in Nigeria. That's just one part of it. At that point, she's just been recruited, maybe deceived into believing she's going to get a job. Then she is trafficked out of the state, promised a job in, for example, Italy, and she's trafficked out of Nigeria on her way. Obviously, she'll transit through a number of countries. If she travels by plane, possibly fewer, but she could travel by, for example, irregular means, because it is known that today traffickers are also using smuggling routes to traffic their victims into, for example, Europe. So she would she could travel through through Niger, through Libya, often being exploited on the way, and end up in a destination country, which could be, for example, Italy. It could be that exploitation itself, sexual exploitation, for example, or exploitation for labor purposes, only takes place in Italy. But that does not mean that the crime only took place there. No, the crime started, it's a continuing crime. It started in one country and continued throughout. And so because of this very complex nature, even of the crime itself, it was clear that, first of all, if states wanted to combat trafficking, one, they had to combat it on different levels within their own states. So legislative, yes, also enforcement, but beyond that, police alone are never going to be able to identify victims of trafficking. For example, they do need help from other actors who provide, for example, care and support. In our experience, people are much more likely to divulge that they have been trafficked and that they need protection and assistance if they have built a relationship of trust with the person who is working with them. Often with law enforcement, this element of trust is missing. In addition to that, across states, you need to have a common understanding of what constitutes trafficking, what we're looking for. And so states came up in the Palermo Protocol, which is a protocol to the UN Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime. They came up with one definition of what constitutes trafficking. We find this definition, for example, also in other regional initiatives like the EU framework to combat trafficking, which again takes this definition and ensures to some extent that member states have the same understanding of what constitutes trafficking. Of course, that's only the first step. Beyond a common understanding and a common commitment to fight this crime, you have to take it a lot further. There have been initiatives both at the level of, for example, international organizations, the famous UN GIFT, global initiative to fight trafficking, human trafficking. That's on one level, but then also on the level of civil society, there have been both international and national initiatives.
In fact, I was going to ask you, because as you are rightly pointing out, we must not only tackle this issue of human trafficking from a legal aspect, but also sort of civil society has a role to play in creating barriers, even like to perhaps alter the social mindset of people.
One very important role of civil society in this field is, first of all, the creation of awareness. Promoting awareness both in destination countries, okay, where probably civil society is in a sense at it stronger, but also in source countries. There's a lot of work on the ground in source countries, working with people who are, let's say, more vulnerable to being trafficked, to make them aware of the dangers, to make young girls aware of the dangers of being lured by promises of jobs in Europe, for example. A lot of work is also done on the level of services then, both in source countries, but also in destination countries. For example, even in Europe, a lot of the shelter, a lot of the support is provided by non-governmental organizations. At times, it is, in a sense, funded by the state. At other times, it is actually the NGOs who raise the funds, even through EU programs, to provide these services.
Certainly, these are very valid points which you have mentioned, Dr. Camilleri. I really thank you for accepting our invitation and participating in this discussion over here. And that was Dr. Catherine Camilleri. She has the legal unit of the Jesuit Refugee Service in Malta.
Thank you for your input, Dr. Camilleri. I now turn back to our guests for today, Martin and Justine, international relations students. Justine, it is a known fact that the majority of cases go unreported when it comes to human trafficking. Can you tell me why?
Yes, due to the highly clandestine nature of the crime of human trafficking, the great majority of human trafficking cases go unreported and culprits remain at large. There are reports that many human traffickers are associated with international criminal organizations and they are therefore highly mobile and difficult to prosecute. Also, sometimes members of the local law enforcement agencies are involved in this business of illegal exportation or even importation of human beings, and therefore prosecution is further complicated by victims of trafficking being afraid to testify against traffickers, also out of fear for their lives or perhaps for their family members' lives.
Martin, certainly I know that there have been some initiatives to stop human trafficking. Can you explain to us why most of these initiatives seem to fail?
Yes, the problem with human trafficking is that it, first of all, most of the cases, about two-thirds of all people trafficked, will work within prostitution in one way or another. Prostitution in itself is illegal in most countries and is hence below the radar of the government. If these people were instead working within otherwise legal fields, it would most likely be easier to control. Yeah, right. So the reason why these initiatives fail tends to be for the fact that not only do these people work in prostitution, aside from this, there is generally speaking very poor information with regards to what human trafficking actually is. Many people voluntarily leave their home countries and go abroad and are trafficked once they arrive in their destination countries. Another problem is that there is lack of opportunity otherwise. Many people, for example, in Thailand come from the hillsides of Thailand where there used to be large opium production. But as government has cracked down on opium production, they haven't provided an alternative field of income for the population, causing many young Thais to move towards the tourist areas where they're then trafficked. Also, the problem is that many times prostitution is ingrained in society. For example, in Thailand, despite the fact that it is illegal, it is on the whole accepted. In Japan, it's considered a part of a good business meeting that afterwards you have to make sure that your client is satisfied. Oftentimes this means taking them to sex shops or similar things. So even though it is illegal in Japan, it's hard to control because it's considered part of good hospitality.
So from what I understand, it means that basically in both Thailand and Japan, the situation is that you cannot completely eradicate human trafficking, but is there some efficient way of limiting this trade from continuing to flourish?
Well, in my opinion, this is merely my opinion, the best way would most likely be to legalize prostitution. As I said, this doesn't work for all human trafficking. One-third of all victims do not work in the sex field, but two-thirds will work in fields that are completely unregulated, and it will be very hard for governments to do anything to prevent it. If instead a process were established which are legal, where you require documentation, and where they are provided with proper medical care, you will eliminate a large part of underage prostitution, which is a very fast growing market. In America, about 30% of all cases caught were for underage.
But you're saying that sort of one of the efficient ways is to legalize prostitution. Do you think this would work in all countries? Do you think all governments would be ready to legalize prostitutions, especially in the Middle East and in conservative countries?
I think most countries aren't prepared to deal with the situation of legalizing prostitution, as it's considered a moral issue. But in the case of human trafficking, I think we need to look at it not from a moral issue, but for the well-being of the people trafficked, and also for the people who aren't trafficked but voluntarily work within this field. I think we have to make this differentiation, especially now when you see HIV, for example, booming in Southeast Asia. This is mostly because of child prostitution. In some countries, above 30% of children prostituted already have HIV, as in Cambodia. Problem with this is, for example, if tourists go to Thailand, they visit these brothels, they will then come back to the West, and it will spread here in the West also. So even if Thailand were to do something, it would be, for example, very positive, but I think in the whole it would need to be something implemented on a global scale to eliminate the moral issue of prostitution, just look at it from the point of what's best for the people involved.
So this brings us to another question. Human trafficking must not only be limited to sexual exploitation. Justine, can you explain more on this point? What other forms of human trafficking do exist?
Yes, in fact, while women and children are particularly vulnerable to trafficking for the sex trade, as you said, human trafficking is not limited to sexual exploitation. It also includes persons who are trafficked into forced marriages, or, for example, into bonded labor markets, such as agricultural plantations or domestic service. Also, the prevention of human trafficking requires several types of interventions. Some are of low or moderate cost and can have some immediate impact, such as awareness campaigns that allow high-risk individuals to make informed decisions. However, we know that serious law enforcement is quite expensive to achieve.
Unfortunately, we have come to an end. Justine and Martin, thank you very much for joining us. We hope to speak to you again in our future shows. Today we are discussing human trafficking on It's Debatable. Remember, you can join our debate by posting your questions and comments on our online forum at mirsa.org.mt. It's Debatable is a conjoined initiative between the Department of International Relations within the University of Malta and Mirsa, the Malta International Relations Student Association. A special thank you goes to Dr. Isabel Calleja, head of the Department of International Relations, lecturer Dr. Carmen Samud, and Ms. Joyce Gregg for their input. On the next show next week, we shall be discussing the process of European integration. Aida and Katkuti, thank you, our dear listeners, for joining us today. Stay tuned to Campus FM.